But the US data, so the analysis that I contributed, does control for a lot of these confounds. And I'll go back to what you brought up before, which is distinguishing sort of this age, the fact that the vaccines were given to the older age groups. So if we go to slide four, so this is basically similar to what we were doing before, where you're looking at a correlation between vaccines on the x-axis and number of deaths on the y-axis, except you're adjusting for prior year deaths. So it's basically a way to adjust for the differences in population size and other statewide factors that might affect mortality differences across states. So in this case, so the temporal pattern you see is that you see significant, so this is thresholded by essentially correlations that survive p less than 0.05 corrected for the vaccination term. So this is only showing those slopes where it survives a stringent statistical criterion. And when you just threshold and show those slopes that show any significant relationship between vaccination and mortality, you see that earlier in the year, February, March, and then into April, it's only the older age groups that where you see a significant effect. And then it's not until you hit May, where you start seeing effects in the younger age groups. So that sort of popped out of the data. And it's not something that, that the fact that that pattern sort of emerges to me is it was a signal that, this is a real signal because it does
Of
match the
something.
temporal. Yeah. It's, yeah, because
I get it.
it does make sense in terms of the vaccine. Yeah.
We're going to bring Dr. Victory here in just a second. I have a the thing I really shake my head about is why, what happened to our colleagues? What has gone on here that you can't get published? You can't get into the usual discourse of scientific back and forth and critique. What you have to be silenced because you have something that looks problematic. What is going on?
Yeah, that's something that I've spent a lot of time thinking about. So when I first had these findings, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get this to The Lancet. They have rapid publishing. They have an in-house statistician. They don't even need to send it out to peer review. They could the data is publicly available. They could have their in-house statistician check it, and in a day, they could see whether it's real or not. And this is something they would want to get published before the first booster comes out, right? And that was not, they didn't, they, so I appealed their decision. They initially rejected it and they said, oh, we already have enough COVID submissions. We can't prioritize this right now. I appealed it. I said, this is not your usual COVID submission that you get. They essentially said, well, correlation doesn't mean causation. So we don't know that just because these results don't necessarily mean that it's the vaccine that's causing this mortality differences, right?
Have you had
So
any
that was
follow-up?
somewhat,
follow-up data?
I submitted, I'm sorry.
Did you
Oh,
have any
follow.
follow-up data to try to, yeah.
So in response to that, I did sort of add a whole section about causation. And when you view these data in conjunction with VAERS, in conjunction with all these other independent means of confirming this data, and the fact that the actual mortality risks that you compute from these slopes line up with predictions that you would get from VAERS and predictions that you would get from VAERS deaths and its underreporting factor,
But
the
what's
fact that
going on
those
here?
were,
Why
yeah,
do they
so
have
I
to put
responded.
you on? What
So
the
I
hell?
responded. So in a way, they made, I strengthened the manuscript. I appealed again. I didn't hear back. But I took that manuscript and I sent it to many other journals and got similar responses.